It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for one more Joe Biden report, maybe our last one, hopefully our last one. Yes, another Joe Biden update. Well, the verdict is in. The reviews are out. Joe Biden did a fantastic, amazing, incredible job the last 4 years. Yes, indeed, his presidency was successful at every level. The border is more secure. Our country has regained its respect all over the world. Our economy is soaring. That's the fact, Jack. How do we know? Because Joe Biden tells us so, silly. That's how we know. He also brags about the graceful way in which he's handing the White House over to President-elect Donald Trump. Yes, of course, the latest Democrat chapter in their tired narrative about January 6th is embedded constantly with the recurring phrase, peaceful transition of power. The not-so-obvious takeaway: unlike Donald Trump, we are not insurrectionists. We are handing the White House over peacefully. Yeah, peacefully. And what kinds of examples are offered for this so-called peaceful transition? Well, Biden did have Trump over to the White House a while back. They shook hands. They talked for a while. It was pleasant. That's it. That's all, folks. Only Porky Pig could say it better. And I mean no disrespect, because Porky Pig would have made a better president than Joe Biden. A stalk of celery would have made a better president than Joe Biden. There is no peaceful transfer, unless selling off portions of material for Trump's border wall are peaceful transitions. Or maybe these executive orders are peaceful, orders outlawing offshore drilling, many other orders designed to stop every single agenda on Trump's list, the agenda he ran on, an agenda that got him elected by the public in a landslide. Biden sets every snare and booby trap he possibly can to sabotage the promises that got Trump elected. This from the man who lectures us on preserving and respecting democracy. Oh, and the sportsmanship displayed in Joe's farewell address from the Oval Office? Yeah, that was a first-class act. First, he praised his historic presidency, although he does say it'll take time to realize the impact of all we've done. Oh, don't worry, Joe. We realize your impact. We've realized it for a long time, so don't worry about that. The second half of the Oval Office speech warned us of the dark times ahead, because essentially, democracy is now over. He never mentioned Trump by name, but he said it was now up to others to watch out for our freedoms. And he did not mean Trump when he said others. He meant those listening who need to watch out for Trump. He also expressed concerns about a rich oligarchy that controls politics. This from the man who gave the Medal of Freedom to George Soros. Interestingly enough, the billionaires he's referencing are people he loved before, because before they supported him. Now that they've switched sides, they've transitioned into oligarchs faster than Tim Walz can hand out tampons in the boys' bathroom. These billionaires also supported Biden's causes in the past. Elon Musk invented the electric car, every green activist's dream. But Musk also committed an unpardonable sin. He switched over to Trump's side. You can't do that, Elon. This means he's no longer a hero, but an evil oligarch. And don't forget Bezos, Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg runs Facebook. And one of Biden's examples of dangerous activity is that Facebook will no longer be fact-checked. In other words, there will be no more government-pressured censorship like the kind that silenced people who spoke against masks or refused to take a vaccine or posted research from doctors that differed from His Royal Eminence Anthony Fauci or promoted a New York Post article exposing Hunter's laptop with info that implicated Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is a crook. That's the plainest way to say it. That's a fact that has been fact-checked and verified. Uncle Joe is a downright criminal, not only for compromising our national security by providing favors overseas for money, but because he also did the very thing with classified documents that Trump was falsely accused of doing. Special Prosecutor Herr concluded this after interviewing him. He found him guilty, but recommended against putting him on trial and prosecuting because of his mental incompetence. He said the jury would just feel sorry for him. So no trial, you're too incompetent to go on trial, but go ahead and remain our commander-in-chief for the rest of your term. The left loves to call Trump a convicted felon. It's a talking point. Well, yeah, technically, he was convicted, but of crimes that were virtually invented. I say virtually because to this day, nobody knows what they are. Even the jury didn't know. They were given a multiple choice of three possible violations by the judge, and they didn't have to agree on all three. As long as each of the 12 picked at least one of the three, that was enough for a guilty verdict. Let's be clear. Trump may have been convicted, but he is not a felon. Biden has not been convicted, but he is a felon, saved from the verdict only because he's turned into a walking, talking Mr. Potato Head. Biden had other familiar talking points in his farewell address. More blather about how the rich need to pay their fair share. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. Never mind that the rich already pay 80% of our country's taxes. Oh, they're not paying their fair share. Oh, and let's just ignore that among the plethora of criminal charges against Hunter, tax evasion is one of them. Joe reminds us again that nobody is above the law, except Hunter, who he pardoned, and 37 murderers and child molesters on death row. Their sentences were commuted, but nobody's above the law. Joe, just go. Just leave. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. This guy is contemptible. He accuses Trump and his companions for the very things he has done. And then the good that Trump has actually accomplished, he tries to take credit for. No surprises, in his first run for the presidency, he had to step down because of plagiarism. He also says his son, Beau, died in battle in Iraq. Now, Beau did die tragically of cancer. We're very sad about that. But he didn't die in battle. That doesn't keep Joe from going on. Joe says his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Joe says he graduated top half of his class in law school. Joe says he marched for civil rights. Actually, the guy was a segregationist. This so-called champion of civil rights spoke against desegregation, saying he didn't want his children to grow up in a racial jungle. And even when he talks positively about civil rights, supposedly, he betrays himself. Remember when he first described Obama before Obama became president? The guy's African-American, but he's clean and he's articulate. He's a storybook, man. So it's a storybook to find an African-American that's clean and articulate. How that guy ever got picked as vice president by Barack Obama is beyond me. He also claims that he was arrested while trying to visit Nelson Mandela in prison. Yeah, sure you did, Joe. And you also helped Henry Ford invent the automobile. And you also wrote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address for him. If it weren't public knowledge that Disney stories were animated movies, you probably would have claimed to be both Prince Charming and Peter Pan, although the only role anybody would have believed suited you was Pinocchio. And now, on top of everything else, he's taking bows for a deal about an Israeli-Hamas ceasefire. In reality, Donald Trump warned Hamas that if the hostages were not returned before he was sworn into office, all hell would break loose in the Middle East. Well, now, supposedly a deal is in the works. I'll be honest, I hate these kinds of deals. I understand the families want their loved ones returned. If I were in their shoes, I would also. But these deals only embolden terrorists. Did you know that in a previous deal, one of the terrorists exchanged for an Israeli soldier was the very guy that masterminded October? These deals always nail Israel to the wall. The latest, hostages will be returned in phases. Now, Trump didn't talk about phases. Where are these phases coming from? It's not all going to happen right away. In fact, some of them are dead. Hamas is even keeping dead bodies as hostage so their families cannot at least have the closure of a funeral. But it's phases. The first phase, and granted the scenario keeps changing, the first suggested phase, 9 hostages for 110 Palestinians, including those convicted of terrorism and murder. Then eventually Hamas will release 33, but that's still only the end of phase 1. And finally, in time, eventually, all will be released. This deal sucks raw eggs with 2 straws. Israel should refuse it. Trump should not be doing victory laps of this. Look, I'm a great supporter of Donald Trump. You know that. You've heard my radio show. I love Trump. I don't think he should associate himself with this deal. However, having said that, to be as objective as possible, undeniably, it can be argued that wheels have been set in motion since Trump made that threat. So whatever is happening, Biden claims the credit. Says this is the deal he had going on as far back as May. Even his own State Department acknowledged that a member of the Trump team was part of the negotiations because Hamas fears Donald Trump. They may only be making a few overtures, but they're making it because of Trump. And that's why, despite how we may feel about the deal, at least something is happening. Does Hamas also fear Joe? Joe, they would have feared Barney Fife before fearing you. And October 7th wouldn't have happened at all if not for your botched up Afghanistan withdrawal, which saw the death of 13 U.S. servicemen and left other Americans behind. A move that emboldened Putin's attack on Ukraine. A move that emboldened Chinese weather balloons over our sovereign country. And how about placating Iran, the sponsor of terrorism, showering them with money? You think that had nothing to do with October 7th? Biden's speech went on, every day I kept my commitment to be president of all Americans. How does he say this with a straight face? President of all Americans. Like the ones you called garbage for supporting Trump? Like the ones your surrogates called Nazis for supporting Trump? Is this how you were president for all Americans? But it's not only Biden who offers a peaceful transition of power. Kamala is also being warm as ever, especially when she refused to host the Vance family in a courtesy visit of the vice president residency before stepping down. And what about the Democrat senators in the confirmation of Trump's cabinet nominations? They wrote the book on transition of power and bipartisanship. Ladies and gentlemen, I am of the opinion that these hearings should not be on TV. It gives politicians too much opportunity to play for the camera and grandstand. I am so sick and tired of senators pontificating because they like to listen to themselves talk, not giving Hexeth or Bondi or anyone else time to answer the questions or interrupting them the moment 2 words come out of their mouth. In some cases, not really getting around to asking questions at all.
I don't want a long answer. Just yes or no. Just yes or no. Of course, my question can be so long it sounds like I'm using a phone book as a script.
Oh, and what about the disruptors? Very first day, very first confirmation hearing. Within a matter of minutes, 3 separate interruptions took place while Hexeth tried to give his opening statement. One disruptor accused Hexeth of being a Christian Zionist. My friends, a Zionist is simply somebody who believes that Jewish people, like all other nationalities, are entitled to a country of their own, especially when it's the country of their origin. Now, why aren't these interrupters, these people, arrested? Sure, they were carried out, but why aren't they in jail? How is this different than January 6th? No, they didn't break in, but these are people who entered the Capitol building for the express purpose of disrupting a meeting. So how is that really any different? Because Democrats and leftists have different rules for themselves than they do for you. That's why Governor Newsom can tell you that you can't go out to a restaurant during the pandemic, but he'll go to a restaurant. And Nancy Pelosi tells you you can't have your hair done during the pandemic, but she'll have it done in the middle of the night when hopefully nobody will notice, even though we did, and we saw it on TV. Different rules for you than for them, but the transition sure has been peaceful. Biden did more these past few weeks than his entire 4 years in office, all aimed at cutting Trump off at the knees. It's a wonder they left us any country at all. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Yesterday, after my wife Dana and I got home, I reached into our mailbox, you know, the old-fashioned snail mailbox on the porch. I reached in to get our mail. The mail had arrived. As usual, no surprises, about two actual letters in actual envelopes, and yet the mailbox was still stuffed to the hilt. Everything else was an ad. Those ads come in all shapes and sizes and various kinds of paper, light paper, construction paper. They're usually folded to fit into the mailbox, and they take up almost the entire space in the mailbox. I couldn't help but be reminded of the time when nothing seemed more annoying than ads in your mailbox or commercials on television. And then I remembered, in the 21st century, we've progressed far beyond elementary inconveniences. We have ads that are so much more annoying. Computer pop-up. Yeah, how about that computer pop-up? Don't you just love it? Or do you hate it, like me? I hate computer pop-up. I hate it with a passion. It's not as if any of us ever loved commercials anyway, but one that leaps into your face like a sneaky, sinister jack-in-the-box makes me wonder if there isn't a special place in hell for advertisers who program such intrusive garbage. I'm not sure if it reminds me of the solicitor who ambushes people outside a supermarket exit door or some fly at a picnic that won't get away from the food. Yes, I have had anti-pop-up software, of course, installed on my computer, but I guess I need the latest updated version because the snakes seem to keep crawling out of their pit. Why am I talking about this today when there's so many more important news events going on in the world? Well, for one thing, being a writer and being in full-time ministry these days means spending a lot of time on the internet, a lot of time in front of my computer, and oh, the memories I could share. I'll never forget the time I used to blog on townhall.com every day. One particular day, while on their site trying to post my own blog, a car dealer ad kept popping up and blocking most of the screen. You know what I'm talking about, to the point where you can't get any work done if you don't remove it. And I would click that X, that upper left box with the X, you click it, and then the ad goes away, in theory. Well, this ad would go away, but immediately, within seconds, pop up again. Well, no worries. I finally noticed this particular pop-up ad came with a special message. Click here to remove ad from screen. Oh, I see. All right. Well, that's why I couldn't get rid of it myself. I was clicking the wrong button. In this case, it was the resurrection button, which caused the pop-up ad to keep popping out of the grave like a special celebration of Easter Sunday. Yes, of course. Instead of doing it the conventional way, the normal way, I will click where they tell me to click. I guess you must know while you're listening right now that it didn't work. If it had, I wouldn't be on the air talking about this. No, the special click did not actually remove the ad. Instead, I was whisked off the town hall page faster than the cyclone blew Dorothy's modest little house to Munchkin Land. Only my house traveled to the car dealer. I got out of there fast, went back to town hall to post my blog again, but it continued happening repeatedly, enough times to see this was not a fluke or figment of my imagination. I suppose I should be more forgiving. I may even be guilty of judging these businessmen far too hastily. For all we know, this could have been an act of compassion. Yes, perhaps these advertisers, when asking us once again to revisit their sites, want to merely offer a second chance, just in case we don't know our own minds and miss the opportunity of a lifetime. They're only thinking of us. Yeah, that must be it. It's not unlike our government giving us the free health care they say we have been asking for, even though poll after poll shows that we have not asked for it, and even though it's not really free. And then later, when they try to change our everyday laws, dietary laws, try to tell us what kind of food we're allowed to eat or not eat, such as meat, they can say, Hey, if we're going to pay for your health care, we have a right to insist that you stay healthy so we can keep the costs down. By that time, we're supposed to forget that we never asked these self-righteous narcissists to pay for our health care. Hey, how about that? I managed to say something today about current events after all, and we owe it all to that marvelous internet invention, pop-up. The most charming conception since sliced ham, which is probably going to be on the list of foods we're not allowed to eat. My Orthodox Jewish friends will at least have no trouble with that one. Maybe the government will still allow us to eat Rice Krispies. I love Rice Krispies. But on the internet, I'd just as soon not have any Snap, Crackle, or Pop. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Man, oh man, Bob, what a busy, busy news week this has been. I mean, one story drops after another each day. And
it's been that way for years, but this week probably does eclipse them
all. Yeah, literally. 2 stories I have written today. Guess what? There's updates to those already to this
day. You can't keep up with it. That Israel deal changed constantly.
I know.
I knew that by the time we did the show, even my information would be dated. They only released 3 hostages.
Exactly. Yeah. So that situation occurs. But I do have to say, I have to get Netanyahu's fair warning, an actual like serious thing, because I can't trust Hamas as much as I can, or as much as anyone for that matter.
He doesn't trust them. I believe he was pressured to do this. I have to say, much as I've defended Donald Trump, I'm very disappointed in this. That's not what he said. He talked as if every hostage had to be unconditionally returned. He didn't use the word unconditional, but
right.
I think he liked having a victory to talk about before his celebration rally.
100%.
And again, doesn't mean I don't like the guy. He's not perfect. Now, I do think, and I hope, that something's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I have heard that he's made it very clear that if Hamas reneges on this deal, Israel's going to have a free hand from us to just go and finish the job. And they will renege on it.
Right, right.
But they will. So that may be the silver lining.
But how soon is that going to happen?
They're going to drag it out.
I know.
They're going to drag it
out. I know. So.
It's like when a president warns a country that's occupying another country that they better withdraw. They'll go and withdraw partially, but they'll leave some. It's a checker match.
It's just more disappointing that Biden's taking all the credit for this stuff. And I'm like, why?
Well, you know what? Biden can take credit for this stupid deal because it actually sounds like a stupid
deal. It does.
Much more than a Trump deal.
Yeah, I was just comparing this last show we were doing for Dave Stahl. I was comparing this whole thing to the COVID situation where everyone was quick to pounce on Trump and say, see, the restrictions are all on you. This is all your fault and so on and so forth. And then, when Biden comes in, look at this. Jobs galore. Our economy's doing much better and blah, blah, blah.
The restrictions stayed on for the entire first year Biden was in office, for one thing. And the other thing is, Trump Trump was only giving recommendations. He didn't even like them. He kept saying, I don't want the cure to be worse than the disease.
100%.
And they still gave recommendations. It was only supposed to be for 15 days. It was the Democrat states, for the most part, that gave it teeth. Some of the Republican states for a while, but they relaxed things much sooner than the Democrats did. So again, it wasn't that long ago, but already look at all the historical revision.
Right, right. So let's try to get into my story. So I do apologize if there's some stuff that I have missed on these scenes because, man, oh man, news just breaks every 10 seconds here. So my first story, I wanted to talk about TikTok, the big social media app. It's been in the news constantly.
Yeah, and it's a conundrum. Much as Trump has issues with China, he doesn't have too many issues with TikTok, which surprised me at first, but apparently he put a lot of stuff up on TikTok that helped him get elected, so that's why he likes it.
I have to say, it definitely played a huge part in him winning the election this year, too. I really do have to be honest with that. So this week, the Supreme Court, that started
with upheld a law that Congress passed.
Exactly.
So which is the way it should go.
That was what I originally wrote down. Then all of a sudden, I get this news saying that, no, actually, so because of this, TikTok has to be shut down as of today on Sunday.
But
so,
apparently the president can keep it open for 90 days if he can make a case that somebody's going to buy it or that at least that's in the works.
So there's three components to this whole thing, and I'll try to get to it as much as possible. But I'll start off with this. There was a message that popped up on everyone's TikTok saying, sorry, TikTok is not available right now.
Right,
a law
right.
banning TikTok has been enacted in U.S. Unfortunately, that means you cannot use TikTok for now. We are working with President Donald Trump, and hopefully we will fix this situation as soon as possible. We apologize for any inconvenience.
And apparently there's been an update even since that message.
This morning, TikTok is back saying, thank you for your patience and support. As a result of President Trump's efforts, TikTok is back in the U.S. You can continue to create, share, and discover all the things you love on TikTok. Now, the other update to this whole situation is that the law is still a law right now, meaning that if you decide to delete TikTok, you cannot re-download TikTok right now. It is not available on Apple, the Google Play Store, nothing like
that. Well, why are they technically allowing it to even go back up at all in any way?
It's because of a temporary situation.
The temporary thing with
exactly,
Trump.
Exactly, yeah. So any other person decides to download TikTok from the stores there, the Apple or the Google Play area, they can sue, the government can sue that company billions of dollars because that is currently illegal and it would be against liability issues.
So what is your whole opinion of the TikTok thing been?
I'm very mixed on it. On the one hand, I can absolutely see the positivity that comes around with it. My wife used it constantly to help her through some paternity issues that she was dealing with, or maternity issues, I
should
say.
What is its advantage as opposed to something like X or Facebook?
Well, specifically,
or Instagram.
For us personally, TikTok is much, much faster. So when you search a video and you need that result, it's faster than those sites, and you don't have to squabble through a lot of information of that nature. It also helped out a lot of local businesses. I was just watching Fox 5 local interview with a restaurant. They got popular only through TikTok specifically, and now they're beyond busy all the time. And now because TikTok was closed there for a quick second, there were worried about the future of their business.
But then the wolf in the fold is that it was owned and is still owned by China, and
very
they're
much.
Getting our information data, and that's the concern that Congress and the court had.
So because of this, there are, I think I'm reading, four different bidders, and they're all offering the exact same amount of money to purchase
TikTok. And
they
are American bidders,
except for one, but he works with us. It's Elon Musk. He offered.
I would trust Elon Musk.
Yeah. So Elon Musk, there's a YouTuber by the name of Mr. Beast, Kevin O'Leary, who you might know.
Oh,
from
I know
Shark
Kevin.
Tank.
Yeah.
Yes, he's Mr. Wonderful.
He kind of sees himself as a new Trump.
Yes, and then lastly, billionaire Frank McCourt have all offered $20 billion separately to buy out the U.S. rights for TikTok. So
now, I've heard that China's just not going to sell it, period.
That's correct, yeah. They strictly said they are not interested in
the slightest. So what are they going to do? I mean, if Trump starts out his presidency by defying the Supreme Court, that's not going
to
be a
good thing. They're going to try their best to try to swing Trump to persuade him into thinking this is an okay app to have in America somehow, some way. And again, they're probably going to use this election. You would probably have only won because of us sort of situation. They're going to try to persuade him.
Yeah, but on the other hand, one of the things he's run on and even talked about for years before he got into the presidency is the dangers of China. So he's got to be really careful to
very much.
I mean, he got elected because the first time, the first 4 years in office, he was a man who kept his promises.
Mm-hmm.
He starts reneging reneging on promises and the whole thing's off.
One of the things I worry about is a lot of the times Trump will be flip-flopping here and there with certain ideas.
Some of that's because he thinks out loud and talks without a filter.
Exactly, yeah. One of the big ones I was thinking of was cryptocurrency. During his presidency,
he was very much against it. I think as he learns new things, and I'm okay with that if you're changing your position legitimately because you're getting better information. If you're doing it because you put your finger out to the wind, that's different. I don't think he puts his finger to the wind. I think it's the former.
I don't know about it because he has his own Bitcoin out there, the Trump coin itself.
Yeah.
So that makes me kind of think, are you doing this just so you can get a little bit more money in this whole situation? Because remember, as president last time, he did not get a single dollar from this. He used every single one of his funding that he got as a president and put it into government programs.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to take a salary as president
either. Of course not. Yeah, exactly. But that's what I worry about, though, is all those other side projects.
It'll be interesting to see. But boy, we've got the House, we've got the Congress, we got the presidency. They can't blow it by just alienating the very people that put them in office. Mm-hmm. They need to be really careful.
Absolutely. So no word back about if China did have any conversations with these billionaires?
You know what China's going to probably do? They're going to go, Mr. Trump, let's discuss again these tariffs you want to put on us, and then maybe we'll talk about selling TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
I think we might see a deal somewhere in that arena.
Yes. And then just last little tiny tidbit I had here was after Elon Musk said, I did have a conversation with that company and I offered them $20 billion, his stock prices for Tesla just shot up through the roof all of a sudden. Like everyone was actually believing everything he was saying there. But I actually personally believe the actual company ByteDance, who owns TikTok, they said publicly, no, we never had a conversation with them. Yeah, I 100% believe that. I think they've been way too busy as of late to even have a talk with any of those billionaire stockholders. And even then,
maybe he exchanged a quick email and called that a conversation, stretched it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So we do have one more story. This is going to be a gigantic story. I will not be talking about the inauguration because I think everybody has talked about the inauguration and how it's going to be so huge and so epic tomorrow. Instead, I want to focus on our brethrens up north in Canada and see what's going on with them. So if you could stick around with me, Bob, we'll do one more commercial break and we'll talk about...
We'll do Canada, yeah, eh?
We'll get a boot to it.
Right.
Reader enthusiasm for the Dangerous Christmas Ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with producer Brendan Thomas. And while everybody else is talking about dull stories such as the inauguration in Israel, Brendan is on top of the hot, sizzling news that you're waiting with bated breath to hear about, Canada.
Yes, maple leaves galore. How about that? I was going to segue with this. The Buffalo Bills just beat the Baltimore Ravens. What's across from Buffalo? Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls.
You found a way to get people interested in Canada.
That's right. So for those who have not heard the news the last couple weeks here, Justin Trudeau has decided, I shouldn't say he's decided, but he's kind of been forced out now at this point.
Well, I think he did it like Biden, for the good of the people, for the good of the Canadian people, he decided to step aside.
I just kind of threw up in my mouth. Sorry about that.
After he came and begged Trump not to put a tariff on, Trump says, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just become part of the United States?
Yeah, exactly. So Justin Trudeau is stepping down as Canada's prime minister, even though there was speculation that he would rerun in the Liberal Party's nomination this year again.
Well, he could do it, but he knows he would lose.
Exactly. So he said, no, I'm strictly out of it. I'm not doing it. So the Liberal Party has announced publicly that they will be announcing who will be running in their race on March 5th. So that's going to be about two-ish months, 1.5 months from now. I wanted to list you out the list of possible candidates and why this is kind of silly, some of the regulations behind who will be becoming the candidate. So the first person I want to mention super quick is Jamie Bastiat. Is how you pronounce, I think. He's from Nova Scotia. He would be the first Indigenous prime minister if he wins. He currently serves the parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Crown Indigenous Relations.
Indigenous meaning he was a Native American from the Canada.
From the
region.
Canada side, okay. Exactly, yeah.
So his ancestors may have fought in the French and Indian War.
Possibly, too,
Canada,
yes.
Was part of the theater for that.
This is the silliest thing I've ever read here. Karina Gold, she's a 37-year-old government House leader. She's hinted that she wants to enter the race only if she is the youngest candidate to apply to this situation.
Oh, well, that shows deep moral political convictions.
It's not that I don't care about my country. I just want to make sure I create history by becoming the youngest person to run.
If you don't like the old guys, vote for the young twit.
Exactly. All right, so now to the two serious candidates now, for sure. Mark Carney, he is the former Bank of England and Bank of Canada governor. He wants to try to get the Liberal side on the nomination here. He had a good relationship with Trudeau, but obviously it deteriorated as the years have progressed, especially when he was replaced by Chrystia Freeland, which we will talk about here shortly. In the statement on Monday, Carney said that he would be considering the decision closely with my family over the coming months. His economic credentials at the time of global economic crisis are seen as assets, but there are some skepticisms to his bid because he has not any political background at all. He's just been a bank guy. That's it. He's been managing banks, including the Bank of Canada itself. So
that'll be a plus to a lot of people.
Especially on the economic side of things, absolutely. But again, knowing that there's a lot more than just economics to this position of prime minister could be a big questioning thing. But then again...
But knowing how to run a company...
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to say, then again, too, Trump also, he has no political background either, and yet he's ran this country really, really fine on his own, too. So I don't know if there could be a compare... Because again, keep in mind, one is
a very big
conservative.
Well, when you look at all the wasteful government spending.
Exactly. And one's very liberal. The other one's very conservative, too, on that matter. So two different policies on that situation as well. The front runner right now is who I talked about just a second ago, Chrystia Freeland. She is the former finance minister and deputy prime minister. She was once, obviously, an ally of Trudeau. But one of the things that happened with her was that she was part of the negotiations with the Trump administration, because Trump was looking to impose a 25% tariff on all Canadian goods and services. She was able to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement with Trump, and she was able to secure Canadian access to the U.S. market, despite what Trump was hoping for. So, in other words, there's a slight possibility that Trump and her have a good relationship, so therefore Canada can view that as a positive at certain scenes. And not to mention, liberals, like, her policies completely match Trudeau's, so the liberal market over there, up there in Canada, is definitely a possibility that she could definitely win, for sure. However, right now as we speak, in the early poll numbers, the Conservative Party, it's literally their name, it's Liberal versus Conservative. It's not like Democrat versus Republican.
That's the trend. That's the trend. And the Maurice like Trump, the more popular he's going to be.
That's right. So the Conservative Party is actually in the lead currently right now. It's Pierre Poilievre who's in the lead. Oh, I almost forgot one last thing. Historically, the party that has almost exclusively drawn its leaders from Ontario and Quebec all usually win. And this is because people that are in Quebec usually only vote for people who have a very good French language skills. So that's a huge portion.
Isn't the language of Quebec French?
That's too? Their number one language. Yeah. So they only want to support people who
Now, what's this guy's name
language.
Again? It sounded like a movie star.
Pierre Poilievre.
Pierre Poilievre.
Yes. During one of the meetings, he is historically called Justin Trudeau wacko, crazy, disastrous, incompetent, and discredited. In Parliament, he was calling Trudeau a fake, phony, fraud, and sellout, which enraged Trudeau during the meeting, where he came back with, "I'm right here, bro." That's his comeback at him. It sounded like two frat boys fighting against each other, basically. Yeah. Poilievre and his party have enjoyed a double-digit lead in the polls over Trudeau and his Liberal Party. If the polls hold, Pierre will emerge as the next prime minister in the general elections, which won't happen till mid-October. So we do have a little while till then, but right now he's still in the lead. Do expect some Canadian debates, and I don't think they'll be friendly, unfortunately, unless... That's a Canadian joke, excuse me. Sorry. So he's always been a politician throughout his life. He's known as a very fierce attack dog for his party. That's what he's known as a nickname on here. And he's tried to talk very publicly about the disappointments that Trudeau's party has over the years, which, I mean, too much.
Gee, where would he have gotten ideas like that?
Right. His main issues include housing costs. So when Trudeau first took office, the average housing cost in Canada, $465,000. Where are we at today? $725,000. That is steep. He talked about the inflation rate. When Trudeau was in office, the inflation rate in Canada, just 2%. Now it's double that at 4%, and it was even worse. It was at 10% during the COVID restrictions. It was in the double digits for the inflation rate.
Trudeau's another Gavin Newsom without the French restaurant, basically.
It's true. I also want to point out that Trudeau's government made big decisions, including increasing immigration to historical levels and imposing a carbon tax without explanation or consultation to Parliament at all. Trudeau just put those as executive orders out there. That's also very untrustworthy, in my opinion, when you have another body of government that wants to try to help out just in general as a country, and you're doing these executive orders like that. Now, again, there are some good executive orders, not from Trudeau, mind you, just in generality. I'm just saying those who will call in and be or message you like, actually, there was one executive order from Trump that was, I'm just saying in generality, and especially coming from Trudeau and our liberal side, these kind of implementations of executive orders can really hurt a country. The other things I wanted to mention to you is that this guy's not perfect when it comes to conservativeship. He has publicly supported same-sex and marriages and abortion rights for women. So you won't find a perfect candidate.
Well, Trump supports same-sex marriage, too.
And I bet the abortion rights situation, I bet he does it as what Trump does, a state thing. But in this case, up in Canada, it's a province thing. Let the provinces figure it out. Yeah, and then exactly.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I bet mainstream media will be constantly saying like, oh, no, that means he supports it. It's a state province situation. And he's also said publicly, too, that he hates mainstream media, and he wants to defund CBC, which is their big local program that's shared all over the country too. So
kind of like our PBS.
Exactly. So again, we have till October till this time, but it definitely sounds like things are on the up and up. I mean, he was a huge supporter of, if you remember, the truck rally that happened in Ottawa.
Oh yeah, back in the COVID days.
Huge thing. So he was a big supporter of that during the COVID restrictions.
Well, he sounds like their best candidate so far. Yeah. I don't agree with them on the same-sex marriage, but he sounds like their best candidate.
Exactly, yeah. And if anything, if the policies do line up, Trump and him should be hand-in-hand best friends, and hopefully...
Except that he's made it clear they're not going to become part of the United States.
Yeah, so we'll see. Again, there are some positives and there are some negatives when it comes to Canada. Their economy is not that strong right now, and they do have some really good resources that we could use, but as for becoming a state, I don't know.
We could make deals and work together and have the benefit of the joint resources without them becoming a state.
Exactly, yeah. Well, thank you so much for this time.
You're welcome, Brendan. Yeah. It's always good to hear from you. And only you could make Canada sound interesting. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. The The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.